We wish that our next guest had a personal odometer, as in a device that tracked all the miles he's traveled covering news for NPR over the years. Jeff Brady is a correspondent for the network now based in Philadelphia. His original base of operations was the Oregon coast. He grew up there in Gold Beach before heading inland to what was then Southern Oregon State College. SOU, as it's now known, invited Jeff back for a Distinguished Alumni Award as part of this weekend's graduation ceremonies. So here's Jeff Brady, back where he started broadcasting. Good to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So growing up on the Oregon coast, was what you're doing now your dream?
No. I didn't think about that at all, but I loved listening to the radio, and I always grew up in, actually, Gold Beach, that was like a move to a big town for us.
Really?
Because my father worked for the Forest Service when I was growing up, and we always lived in very rural places.
Like
we always
Agnes
said,
and places like that?
Just exactly places like that, up on the North Umpqua River and up on the McKinsey River. We always said which river we lived in. Well, I lived on because there was no town nearby. So Gold Beach was the big town. But I still was like interested in that bigger world out there. And what I discovered is that if you turn the AM radio on at night, you can start to hear stations like KGO from San Francisco. And back then they had all local talk shows, and it exposed me to this whole world out there that I found really fascinating, that I wanted to experience. And so I guess from Gold Beach, the next logical step was Central Point, which is...
It's more central.
I took it pretty slowly. Uh-huh. And so my mom and I moved over there. My dad and my brother commuted over, and we opened up a little grocery store in Central Point. And we're in there for about five and a half years and listened to the radio every day there. And people would come in and want to talk about current events. And I was listening to talk shows. I was accustomed to the commercial talk shows. But then one day while I was waiting for one of them to come on, I started flipping around the dial and found that on the low end of the FM dial, there was some interesting stuff going on, something called Morning Edition on, I thought it was NBR.
Uh-huh.
But that was just because I had a really bad radio.
Uh-huh.
But then I learned it was NPR, and there were no ads, and there were these fun drives where people would come in and answer phones for people who were pledging money to the place. And so I thought, I'd like to get out of this grocery store, and volunteered for a pledge drive. And then somehow I ended up, I was answering phones at the front desk, and then I thought, well, that newsroom looks like an interesting place to be.
Uh-huh. The rest is history, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of, then I decided, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm probably going to have to go to college. So sold the grocery store and went to college here.
So 4 straight years at the SOU, and you're out in, what, 2003? Is that right?
No, I was, I started there in 1990.
Wow.
And then took a little break in the middle, as uh-huh. many of us do, and graduated in 1995 at the end of the summer, and then worked for 6 months here as interim news director.
And boy, so where? What was the path from JPR to NPR?
Well, after that 6 month interim news director gig was over, I was looking for a job, and it looked like there was maybe a half dozen public radio jobs in Oregon, because I never imagined living outside of Oregon. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, my people came here in the late 1800s in the hard way, you know, and
right.
We were not really interested in leaving. And then this is the most beautiful place on earth, and I didn't imagine myself leaving. But there weren't any jobs open, so I worked at a television station, I believe, opposite of you.
You were Channel 10 when I was at Channel 12.
Huh? Exactly. And did that for a couple of years, and then a job opened up at Oregon Public Broadcasting in Portland, and moved up there and started freelancing for NPR, and somebody there liked what I was doing and got hired and moved to Denver.
And then they moved you from Denver to Philadelphia, and how much culture shock was that for a kid who had only known the western part of the United States?
It was a really big cultural shock. Actually, moving from Portland to Denver was a pretty big cultural shock, because I don't think I ever really understood how earnest Oregon is, and how this is a place where people still feel like you can identify problems and develop solutions and implement a plan to resolve a problem. And I didn't realize how special that was until I moved to Denver, and then I really, that lesson was just pounded home when I moved to Philadelphia, because that's a pretty cynical place. But it's also a special place and an important, you know, place for our country. And I really like living there. I like having access to New York and D.C.
Right there by, yeah, 2-hour train ride either way.
Yeah.
Jeff Brady's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a national correspondent for NPR based in Philadelphia and an alum of JPR from a few years ago, let's put it that way, and back to get a special recognition on the Southern Oregon University campus this weekend. As a national correspondent, I mean, is this what we used to call general assignment reporting in TV?
Well, there's it's sort of like a tier. Like, you start out as a reporter, and then after a while, when you start determining more of your own stories, you become what's called a correspondent. But I work for the National Desk, which is pretty much a general assignment reporter. We do develop some specialties, and I do a lot of environment and energy reporting, and we developed a collaborative team of reporters that include people from NPR and from stations around the country, including Jess Burns from here at Jefferson Public Radio. She's part of our collaborative team.
Yeah, and she, Jess is an interesting hybrid because she works for OPB through the EarthFix unit, but is stationed in our newsroom because we're a subscriber or a part of the EarthFix network. So it works really well for us, and it's good to have. And it's interesting to watch how public radio works in that way, that a lot of fingers in each other's stuff. So chances for stations to work together to do things they couldn't do by themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about the nonprofit model is you don't get jealous of your work and other people's work. There's a lot more sharing like that. That's what I like about being here.
Are you happier covering things like energy and the environment than covering, say, national politics?
I enjoyed covering politics in Colorado because Colorado is a really interesting place where the electorate is pretty much split evenly between Republicans, Democrats, and unaffiliateds, or at least it was when I lived there. And you might even call that third category militantly unaffiliated. And so it creates an interesting dynamic. Now I'm not as interested in covering politics as I used to be, but covering the energy beat,
you're
certainly touches
politics.
On politics.
Yeah, all the time. Energy and environment in particular.
I mean,
Is it hard to, I find with the environmental beat, it's easy to round up the usual suspects. And it's a challenge, I think, for reporters to think outside, like, okay, what can we do differently on this story? How can we talk differently about the people who want their trees standing and the people who want their trees out of the forest milled?
Yeah. Well, what's important to me in covering the environment beat is that not everything is horrible. I mean, we've got to cover the important things, but I mean, we all pretty much know about climate change now. We know what's going on. And as new developments come up, we need to periodically remind what's going on. But the environment beat, I mean, for most of us, being out in the environment, in the natural world, is a joyful experience. And that's something that we have to bring to that beat, I think. And you can really find that in the people who dedicate their lives to specific issues or specific campaigns. And so you really got to look for those places where there's some joy there because, I mean, that's when we all go out hiking. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what it's about, you know?
I love the fact that the radio pieces from the environmental reporters tend to have the sounds of people squishing through marshes in tall boots or, you know, crackling through the woods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You always have that natural sound in there. In the stories you've covered over the years with NPR, you know, you try not to stay involved as a reporter, obviously, because you have to be an impartial observer. But, you know, you're a human being. Things stick with you. And I wonder if there's one story above any other that has stuck with you.
You know, I think about the people I meet, because there's some people who you just meet and you know, like, this person has found their place in the world. And there was a man over in the western part of Kansas who had a farm, a ranch, that had been in his family for several generations. And he was running it now, and he appreciated wildlife. And so he decided that on his land, he was going to allow prairie dogs to live. And he wanted prairie dogs there because he wanted the badgers there who go after the prairie dogs. And he wanted to become a place where black-footed ferrets, which were endangered at the time, a place for them to live. And so this man, this was his life goal. And, you know, with the people like that, when they start talking, you can almost just see them like close their eyes and just sort of like there's nothing else in the world. And it's just the thing that gives them life. And I went and talked to some of his neighbors who were very upset that he was allowing prairie dogs on their property, because there was a program in place to make sure that prairie dogs don't exist, because they create holes in the ground and cattle can step in them and horses and things like that. And I asked him, like, you're out here in western Kansas by yourself and you only have a few neighbors. Are you sure you want to be alienating them? And he just said, I don't need nobody. I don't need nobody. He just needs the natural environment that's around him. He loved the land and he just loved that place. And when you talk with people like that, those are the stories that stick with me.
Jeff Brady is a correspondent with NPR now and came from JPR many years ago back in Southern Oregon to get some recognition from his alma mater, Southern Oregon University. Your career spans obviously significant changes in the journalism biz, and between what you do for radio and do on social media, is there just more expected of reporters now?
There is more, and you have to be careful about that, because you can get so caught up in the interaction and the doing this and doing that, that you forget about those joyful stories like that man in western Kansas I was just talking to you about. And you can get so caught up in the politics that you can focus on that. And I do things to try to make sure that I'm sticking with real people instead of ones and zeros on a screen in front of me. So like one of the things I recently did is the little startup screen that comes up on your computer. I had Facebook there and I had TweetDeck there. I took them away. So I have to like purposely go to those places now to have those interactions, so that perhaps first I'll choose the in-person reactions before those virtual ones.
Wow, that is completely retro in today's world, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a really good exercise, and it just makes me think. It actually made me value social media a little bit more, and which has been super important in reporting, because it's not just putting what I produce out there. Story ideas come to us that way. I can think of several stories that have started that way, and some that you kind of get little tips and then you chase them down and there's nothing there. But you can have contact with so many more people. And if you're supposed to be covering the country, then that's a way to have contact with people you might not otherwise.
There's all kinds of stuff out there, that's for sure. The other change in the media business, aside from the additional duties, is the economics of it. But then there's also the political aspect of it. And we're living in a time in history when the president of the United States refers to reporters as enemies of the people. Did you ever think you'd see that day?
No, I didn't. And it's hard. But you really got to stick with. I mean, most reporters, you know, it's not like a business you get into for the money.
Really?
Yeah. And so there's a passion there of sort of like making sure that people understand what is as close to truth as we can figure out at this point, that people have that information. And that's what you're dedicated to. And so if that's what's important to you, somebody out there, no matter how powerful they are, is not going to sway you from deciding that that's what your job in life is.
Do you often thank your lucky stars you're not working for a local newspaper or a local TV station, given the economics of the moment?
I do, but I miss local reporting because, for example, I live in a township just connected to Philadelphia, and it's a township of about 30,000 people. And in our community, we just sold off our sewer system. And there was no coverage of it. Like,
there's no local paper?
Exactly. The local paper is a national chain, and they would send a reporter to some of the meetings, but not all the meetings. And there was no coverage of this big issue that affected 30,000 people. So I'm hoping that somebody comes along and figures out a way. I think there might be something in the public media business model for local coverage. I hope so. We need that.
Does seem to be more bracing of it as time goes on, even by newspapers. Final question before we go. Do you spend a fair amount of time explaining to people where Gold Beach, Oregon is and where Central Point, Oregon is?
You know, all I have to say is that there are no freeways there. You go to the beach. There's no one on the beach. And I don't have to explain where it is. People want to start looking it up on the map. And I just tell them it's one of the most beautiful places on earth, and you have to get there at least once in your life.
And how fun is it to come back to SOU and be recognized as a distinguished alumni?
Oh, it makes me blush. It totally makes me blush. But I love being back here. I'm so glad I got to be in Central Hall before you moved to your new digs.
Before we get out of here.
This place has so many memories.
I can imagine. And I'm so glad you came back to share some of them with us. Jeff Brady, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an NPR national correspondent, formerly of JPR. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.